Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Do you ever open a newspaper or look at the news and ask yourself, what in the world is going on? Times are changing rapidly, and as we begin a brand new year, we begin a new study with Dr. Chappell on the prophecies of the Word of God. It's entitled, Times Are Changing. It's filled with hope. Stay with us. Difficult to lose hope when you look at the newspaper reports and the constant stream of negativity that comes from the media today. It's easy to throw up your hands in wonderment and just wonder what in the world is going on. It's even easy to question and to doubt and wonder whether God really has a plan and purpose. Well, friend, when you open the scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God, is filled with hope. You can't help but find hope, especially when you understand that God understands the future, sees it all from the beginning, and he is working all things together for his eternal purpose. Today on Daily in the Word, we're going to study Times Are Changing, a hope-filled look at present-day events in the light of Bible prophecy. Welcome to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're excited about the new year. We're excited about helping you walk with Christ and grow in the Word of God in the new year, and we're excited about this study, Times Are Changing. One of the great ways that we want to help you walk with Christ and grow in his word in the new year is through the Daily in the Word devotional website, dailyintheword.org. When you visit that website, you can subscribe for free, and every day in your email box, you'll receive every morning a devotional from Dr. Paul Chappell, accompanied with the Old Testament scripture reading and the New Testament scripture reading for the day, as well as a principle that you can carry into your day that will help you to be rooted in Christ. Would you like to walk with God, and would you like to make it a little more simple to do so? We'd like to remind you to walk with Christ every morning by way of your email. If you'll simply visit Daily in the Word, you'll hear that simple reminder every day to walk in the Word of God to become more rooted in Christ, and you'll find it all at dailyintheword.org. But first today, let's begin to wrap up this study with this title, The Admonitions of Bible Prophecy. Our text is 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 14. Here's Paul Chappell.
In the past several weeks, we have studied numerous prophecies related to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have seen in the Bible that the Bible prophesies a forming globalism that will affect the monetary and political world. We have seen the Bible predicting a coming one world leader called in the Bible by the name of Antichrist. And we have seen in the Bible prophecies related to Israel being hated by Iran and Russia. And we have seen parallel news reports in recent days about that hatred even at this moment mounting. We have studied concerning the catching away of the believers in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we have also seen there will be a time of tribulation upon this earth that will take place. Many judgments will be poured out. And last week we learned that according to the Word of God, He will cause the new heavens and the new earth to come right after the coming of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, with the saints. The second coming of Jesus Christ is what we studied last week. Now, in light of all of these prophetic announcements, there is a very stimulating question that is asked by the Apostle Peter in our text this morning. And Peter asks in verse number 11, in light of this world passing, in light of the coming of Christ and the new heavens and the new earth, he simply says to those whom he wrote in this cyclical letter of 1 Peter, a simple question. He says to them, what manner of persons ought ye to be? Another way to say that would be, since all of this is coming, how should our lives be any different? Is this just an intellectual study? Is this just like a college class of some type? Or should these truths stimulate us to be different for Christ? The Bible says in James 5 and verse 8, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. If we believe that, should it affect our everyday life? Well, this morning we're going to look at three challenges from the Scripture that tell us what kinds of people we should be in light of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the first challenge with me this morning. It is a challenge to steadfastness. God's Word declares that in light of the coming of Christ, we should live more steadfastly in our faith. We should be serious about our faith. And we should be steadfast in several areas. First, I want you to notice God calls us to steadfastness in our responsibility in the Christian life. And God gives that responsibility in some very specific ways. And I want you to see this. First, in our responsibility to assemble, I want you to see this morning what the Word of God says. Very basic, but it is very much linked to the coming day of the Lord. Notice in Hebrews 10, 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, say this next phrase with me, as you see the day approaching. God says, I want you to assemble together, I want you to gather together and exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's mentioning assemblies like this, gathering together in the house of God, opening the Word of God in light of His coming, so much the more as you see the day approaching. I heard of a father who was helping his son get ready for Sunday school. He said, come on, son, you got to get ready. The bus is coming to pick you up. It's time to get ready for church. Come on, get dressed, get your hair combed and so forth. The boy said, Dad, did you go to Sunday school when you were a boy? The dad thought about it for a moment. He said, yes, I did. Little guy kept getting dressed. He said, probably won't do me any good either then, will it, Dad? Now, the fact of the matter is that I am a firm believer, not just in going to church, but going to a Bible-preaching church will make a difference in our life. You cannot get under the sound of the Word of God and have an open heart and not have God do something in your life by way of changing you and preparing you for the coming of Jesus Christ. And there is an imperative given here to us, and that is that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I thank God for Christians who take His Word literally and who desire to finish strong, who desire to be faithful even unto death. Yesterday we had the homegoing service for Mrs. Joyce Lane, and just 28 days prior to her homegoing service, we had the service for her husband, Bob. And Bob and Joyce Lane are a wonderful example of what I'm preaching to you this morning. They were married for 60 years and faithfully served Christ all of those years. They were members of Lancaster Baptist Church for 20 of those years. And I mean Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and revival meetings and special conferences. This couple gathered together in the house of God, opened the Word of God, and applied their heart unto wisdom. And so much the more as they sense the day approaching. May God raise up in this church some couples with the spiritual commitment to have said at their funeral that they were faithful unto death, to have said about them that they were steadfast in their faith. Jude speaks of this very need in verse number 18. It says, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. God said there will be those in verse 19 who will separate themselves from Christian assembly. There will be those who will mock the assembling of the believers and who will mock the teachings of the Word of God. But to those who are of the faith, He says, I want to challenge you to assemble. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. He said, I want you to provoke one another unto love and to good works. A little old lady noticed the young man that had moved in next to her. And she saw that he kept his yard clean, and she saw that he was kind to her and always seemed to have a good word to say. And she went up to the young man one day and she said, "Son," she said, "it seems like you've become a fine young man." She said, "I'd like to ask you, how did all of that happen?" He said, "Well, ma'am, you may not believe this, but through much of my childhood, I had a drug problem." She could not believe what he said. He said, "It's true." He said, "My parents drug me to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Through all of my childhood, they brought me to the house of God." You know, I am a firm believer in bringing children to the house of God. Not just Sunday school, not just youth group. I believe that even young people can hear the preached word of God and have a picture in their mind of some man up there speaking based upon the authority of the word of God and believing in what the word of God says, and mom and dad believing it, and the young man sensing that this is important, and just the very example of that, him coming to a point in his life where, Lord willing, he will grasp similar convictions and have not only the example of a believing family, but the convictions of that family that form in his heart. God says, "I want you to be steadfast in your responsibility to assemble." And then in light of the second coming, when we assemble, God says, "I want you to be steadfast in the preaching of the word of God." Now notice this matter of preaching. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, as Paul the apostle wrote from the Mamertine prison in Rome just before his death to a young preacher, he said, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead," notice the next phrase, "at his appearing." In other words, in light of the coming of the Lord, Timothy, I want to give you this challenge in light of his appearing. And notice verse 2, he says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." And may I say that while the pastor should exhort and encourage, a pastor must also reprove and rebuke. Every once in a while, a man will walk out of here and say, "You know, pastor, you stepped on my toes this morning." And I'll say, "I'm sorry, I wasn't aiming for your toes. I was aiming for your heart." One time a guy came by and said, "Did my wife email you what to say this morning?" You know, the Holy Spirit can do a good job of that. And the pastor's job is to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Notice verse 3. "For the time will come," he says, "when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears." Listen, the time will come, Paul said, when men will not want a set of beliefs. They'll want to find an accommodating style of theology. They'll want to find a preacher that will tell them they can live how they want to live, and it's okay. They'll want to find some place where they can gather together that does not have strong convictions. The time will come. And by the way, if you're looking for an accommodating theology, you want to find a place that will kind of match where you want to live, there are thousands of churches in America, 400,000 to be exact. But what we ought to be finding is a place where the Bible is preached and where we are challenged to live according to the Word of God. And so we assemble, and then we must have the preaching of the Word of God. And then I want you to notice, thirdly, God says, "I want you to be steadfast not only to the assembly, not only to the preaching, but thirdly, to be steadfast in our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, every one of us ought to say, in light of the fact that Jesus is coming again, how can I be a faithful witness for my Lord? Jude in verse 21 says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Friend, if you believe that Jesus is coming again, I mean if you believe there is a place called heaven and people go there, then you ought to do everything in your power to help your loved ones know that Jesus is the way to heaven. We ought to be steadfast in our witness for Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 19, Paul the apostle wrote, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Paul said, "You know what makes my boat float? You know what gets me happy? You know what keeps me excited? He said, what keeps me excited is the thought of you, the children of God, coming down with the Lord at His second coming. And Paul envisioned in his mind some of those very converts, those very people that he had witnessed to. He envisioned them coming down. And what a great thought that is indeed. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing as we come with the Lord at His second coming to see people who were saved because we supported missions, because we loved our neighbor and they came to the house of God and accepted Christ as Savior. And in light of the coming of the Lord, God says, I want you to be steadfast in your responsibility to assemble and gather together. I want you to be steadfast in your responsibility to hear the preaching and to share the Word of God. All of these admonitions linked to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How about you this morning? How are you doing in the matter of your responsibility in assembling? We have the Lord's table next Sunday night. Jesus said, this do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. I say this not to bring shame or guilt. I do not want someone making a decision based on those emotions, but I bring it that you might consider where you are. I have many members of this church that we have had the privilege of knowing and pastoring who have never one time had the Lord's table. Yet Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. Perhaps you should consider assembling as we gather around that table. Perhaps you should consider assembling a little more as you see the day approaching. Perhaps we should consider that we need the preaching of the Word of God as we see the day approaching. Perhaps we should consider that others need to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ as we see the day approaching in our responsibility. Notice secondly, we have a responsibility in our remembrance of Jesus Christ. You know, people don't remember others very much anymore. Amazingly, 2 days before Joyce Lane went to heaven, she wrote me a thank you note for having preached her husband's funeral service. Something about that generation is more thoughtful and thankful. And many times we don't thank and we don't remember in this busy day like we should. But how many of you understand from the Bible, Jesus wants us to remember Him? And look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 11:24. And when he had given thanks, speaking of this Lord's table service that we're going to have next Sunday night, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Now look at verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. What do the next words say? Till he come. Till he come. There it is. Attached to this matter of the Lord's table is the thought of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he said, I want you to remember my broken body and my shed blood until I come. And they did not have recording cameras and television stations in the days of Jesus Christ. And so rather than leaving a video, he left for us this matter of the Lord's table, this time of communion, that we might remember him until he comes. And he says, I want you, as you drink that juice and as you take that bread and that wafer, to remember me until I come, and to remember his sacrifice, and to remember his soon return. John chapter 14 in verse 1, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And you see, we are challenged in the Word of God in light of His coming to be steadfast in our responsibilities and steadfast in our remembering of the Lord Jesus Christ. A challenge to steadfastness. Notice secondly, if you would, a challenge to sanctification. Now, God not only wants His children moving forward and living for Him, but He also wants us to be living a life of sanctification. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5 speaks of this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me speak briefly about the doctrine of sanctification. There are two aspects of it. First, there is what we would call positional. Positional sanctification speaks of my position in Jesus Christ. That is, when I accept Jesus Christ as Savior, His blood is applied to my account, and positionally I am forgiven. My sins are as far as the east is from the west. His Holy Spirit seals me until the day of my redemption. Once again, I am sanctified by God. I am set apart by God. How many of you are thankful today that positionally you have been set apart unto God? You are sanctified. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. But beside my position, there is the practical matter of sanctification. That is my daily walk. It is not just a matter of being a member of the family. It is a matter of acting like a member of the family. You are a member of a family today, but there are some people who never even recognize their family. They never have any interaction with their family. God says, I want you practically to interact with me. I want you to be growing closer to me. And so sanctification is a doctrine in light of the coming of Christ. Now, the modern church knows little of sanctification, cares little for sanctification, practices little in the matter of sanctification, and some churches mock the very doctrine of sanctification. And yet God calls us to live a sanctified life. He wants us to be sanctified first from this world system. You've read it in the Bible, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. God says all the things that are of the world are to be avoided, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Now notice this world system in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's in your notes there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. Did you catch that? Once again, we're going to be challenged in light of the fact that one day we're going to gather together unto Him. All right, verse 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, neither by letter that is from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, speaking of that eternal day beginning with the rapture of the church, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Of course, this speaks of the Antichrist. And the Bible speaks of how the world will change before the Antichrist takes his place in power. And a few significant events are mentioned in this text. First, the Bible says, before the Antichrist will have his power, there will come a falling away from the truth. There will be people who were in church who are no longer in church. But more than that, people who said Jesus Christ was the only way, who begin to equivocate, compromise, who become pragmatic and buy into the pluralism of the day and buy into the idea that all religions lead to the same place. It is a falling away, verse number 3, from the truth. The Greek word for falling away, apostasia. We sometimes call it apostasy. And there are churches today who are more concerned about saving the whales than they are saving souls. And there are churches today more concerned about climate change than people changing. And so now we have churches today who have long stopped preaching the gospel, and many today who are members of the World Council of Churches this week, I read in the Associated Press, are going to be ringing the bells of their churches 352 times to signal the need for climate change. By the way, this church is not and will not ever be, according to our Constitution, members of the World Council of Churches. The Bible says, what? Know ye not? We're to come out and be separate. We are not to walk together except we be agreed. And so we're not going to be a part of any organization that would include Taoist and Buddhist and Baptist and every other kind of a group that wants to ring bells concerning climate change, but won't ring a bell to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Now, the simple fact is this. There's an apostasy. Many of these churches were paid for by people who believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But now there's been a falling away.
Times certainly are changing, but isn't it an amazing comfort to be a believer and to have your hope in Christ and your hope in the fact that God is sovereign and He is in control and He's working all things together according to His perfect will and His eternal purpose? Friend, you can take hope. If you look at today's news and you find yourself hopeless, come back to the Word of God, to the fascinating details we're studying from Scripture, and remember there is hope in Jesus Christ. If you haven't asked Him to be your Savior, I hope you will. I hope you'll respond to today's message and trust Christ as Savior and be on the winning side. You've been listening to Daily in the Word, the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church, president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. You can join us here every Monday through Friday on this station at this time to hear the Word of God and to continue this fascinating series with us, Times Are Changing. Also, I want to encourage you to pick up a copy of Pastor Chappell's book that accompanies this series, Times Are Changing. You'll find it on Amazon. You'll find it also at the strivingtogether.com website. That's our publications ministry, strivingtogether.com. And the book is simply entitled, Times Are Changing, Understanding World Events in the Light of Bible Prophecy. What a great, hopeful book and hopeful study this has been. Friend, I also want to encourage you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. There are two resources in the new year that we'd like you to have as a gift. It's our free ministry into your life to help you become rooted and grounded in Christ and in your daily walk with Him. First is the daily devotional right to your email box, a devotional from Dr. Chappell with the Old Testament and New Testament scripture readings included and links to additional resources that will help you grow in Christ in the new year. You'll find it all at dailyintheword.org. You simply submit your email address, you'll be subscribed to that daily email, and every day you'll receive today's devotion and scripture reading. Additionally, I want to encourage you to tell a friend about that devotional as well as this program, Daily in the Word, and the free podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes to your computer, to your iPhone, to your iPod. You can download Daily in the Word right to your device and listen at your convenience. Perhaps you have a friend or loved one that lives in an area where this program is not broadcast daily. You can subscribe them or help them subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast to hear the teaching and preaching of the Word of God through Dr. Paul Chappell. Well, friend, if you have other questions, visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day and Happy New Year.